Hey everyone, welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn, and on today's podcast, we have the amazing Dr. Debbie Silber joining us. Dr. Silber is the founder of the PBT Institute. She is a transformational psychologist and a health mindset and personal development expert. She's an award-winning speaker, coach, and author of the Amazon number one best-selling book, The Unshakable Woman, Four Steps to Rebuilding Your Body, Mind, and Life After a Life Crisis, which also includes The Unshakable Woman Workbook, the companion guide to her book. Her doctoral study led to two discoveries around how women experience and heal from betrayal. Based on her findings, along with 27 years of health, mindset, and lifestyle coaching, she has created a proven approach to help women heal physically, mentally, and emotionally from a life crisis specializing in betrayal. So welcome, Dr. Debbie Silber.
Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hey everyone, welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn, and on today's podcast, I actually don't have Laura Jackson with me. Instead, I have the amazing Dr. Debbie Silber. Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Hi. Looking forward to our chat.
Yes, me too. So guys, we have a lot to cover today, and this is a topic that is like very true and dear to my heart, because it is something that I think a lot of people don't pay enough attention to, which is the emotional side and how it affects your physical side, and focusing a lot on betrayal and how that also has a huge impact in terms of moving forward in your life and being able to actually reach goals and everything else, and how all of that will hold you back, I believe. So Debbie is an expert in this. She is the creator of the Post-Betrayal Transformation Institute. So Debbie, why don't you tell us a little bit about that before we get into sort of some of my questions I have? Why don't you tell us a little bit about your institute?
Sure. Well, you know, you don't study something to this level, you know, the level of betrayal. You don't get a PhD in betrayal and open up a Post-Betrayal Transformation Institute unless you've been hard hit by betrayal. And I certainly was. After 27 years, I was in health and fitness and mindset and personal development and doing the best I could. Mm-hmm. But these betrayals just kept knocking me down and knocking me out. And we just feel like, okay, well, just keep going and just pick ourselves back up again. And you know, the way the universe works, if we don't get the lesson we were meant to learn, it just comes back in the form of another opportunity, in the form of a person. So I had this huge betrayal experience from my family, didn't get the lesson. And then it happened again with my husband. So that sent me right into this PhD program. It was actually in transpersonal psychology, which is the psychology of transformation and human potential. I mean, I was obsessed with transformation because I was doing it, he was doing it, wanted to understand. And then it was time to do a study. So I did a study on how women experience betrayal, what holds them back, what helps them heal. We actually made three discoveries, which was huge. And I'm happy to go over them with you.
No, I would love to. We've got so much to cover, so let's just go for it.
Yeah, sure. So the first is, while we can stay stuck in any stage for years, you know, months, decades, a lifetime, if we're going to go from that shock of betrayal to transformation, we're going to go through these five very predictable stages. And what's so exciting is now we know what those stages are and what it takes physically, mentally, and emotionally to move from one stage to the next. So what's so great about that is here you are blindsided by a family member, a partner, a friend, a coworker, and there's a way to move through it predictably. So that's the first really exciting thing.
Really exciting.
Yeah, and I'll go through the five stages with you too, if you want to know.
Yeah, no, I definitely think we'll get to those, like, for sure, because I really want to focus on some questions around betrayal. But I think knowing that stuff and knowing that there is actual stages to help you through, because so many times we are just in today's society, I find we just sit there and we go, it just takes time. Time will heal. But really, if you know that there's a process and you can use that process to your advantage to help you heal and to help you not only heal, but actually get through it. I think is really key. So yeah, I definitely want to hear about this.
and time is great, and we do need time because something like trust is so huge. I mean, when trust is shattered, it takes time to rebuild trust. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the time works against us because there's this thing called ruminating where we're actually, you know, we're going over it to find meaning, to make sense out of it. But then there's marinating, you know, where we're just sitting in it. And we want to come to that place where what's the benefit of this experience? What did I learn from it? How can I use it to help me grow? But when we sit in it too long, we get stuck and we start creating these, like this network of beliefs that keep us there. And that's the problem. That's what makes us sick. Mm. So that's a huge, so the time is an important piece. Anyway, the other two discoveries were, I was originally studying something called post-traumatic growth. And that's kind of like the upside of crisis. Like, what did it lead to? What'd you learn? What'd you gain?
Okay.
And, you know, it's hard to imagine, how could a crisis lead to something good? But it always does. Mm-hmm. A new awareness, a new perspective, a new something. But what I found with every single participant, me too, healing from betrayal is so different because not only is there a grieving process and all of the things you have to go through, you also have to heal aspects of the self that were so hard hit, rejection, you know, abandonment, a sense of worthiness, self-esteem, confidence, trust. So it needed a new name. So I coined this new term, post-betrayal transformation. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing we discovered was there's a collection of symptoms so common to betrayal, it's become known as post-betrayal syndrome. So I actually have a quiz right on my site where you can see to what extent you're still struggling.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Well, we'll definitely make sure that we share that link on our site as well as on social so that anyone who is interested just to kind of do the quiz and just to see where they're at to do just like a little bit of self-exploration, definitely recommend it.
Yeah, because we don't realize it. You know, what happens is we have these symptoms and then we see the most amazing health experts, but we're playing this game of whack-a-mole. It's like this symptom shows up, we try to tamp down that symptom. This one shows up, we try to do something about that. And so we're seeing practitioners or taking something or doing something, mm-hmm. but at the root of it is this unhealed betrayal. So when you heal the betrayal, all that stuff heals.
Right. Yeah, no, and that completely makes sense because it has to, it's kind of like if you're just putting band-aids over top of things. You're not actually getting to the root of the problem. It's the same thing in terms of like with weight loss or anything like that. If you are just going through the motions of doing the movement and doing, you know, eating well, you are going to get to the results. But if you don't heal that side of you, that oftentimes there's an emotional attachment to your weight and to your self-worth. And all of that that comes along with it, if you don't feel that side and you don't understand it, then you'll never actually really be able to have, I believe, like solid foundations and habits to last. You'll always end up cycling backwards.
You're so right. When you think about what, you know, what's a binge? A binge is really, you know, here we are trying to feed an unmet need. You know, that's really what it is. What's the need? Is it a need for just intimacy or just, you know, we're exhausted or we have to have that difficult conversation or there's something going on that we're not feeding. So we're trying to just stuff that emotion through food. And when we really say, what am I really hungry for? And you feed that, that's the beginning of the end of emotional eating.
Right. Now, one thing that I did want to talk to you about before we get a little bit more into the betrayal stuff, because I do find this stuff so fascinating, but one of the things that I know that you understand a lot about, and I think that this is something that a lot of our listeners would relate to, is about self-sabotage. Because I think that when I think of it from a perspective of, you know, your health, your wellness, your fitness, or anything, oftentimes I see it in myself too. I know I have a very strong sense of awareness because I had a lot of therapy for over 7 years that I went through weekly, did a lot of self-discovery during that process to heal a lot of my old wounds. So I really understand when I'm doing things to self-sabotage majority of the time. There's still times that are going to like sneak up on me for sure. But majority of the time I can really recognize it and I can either choose at that point to either stop it in my tracks or to continue with it, knowing that I'm doing it, but being mindful about the fact that I am self-sabotaging. Mm-hmm. But that's taken a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of practice in my life. Mm-hmm. What do you say to people that are listening now that, like, first of all, how would you even define sabotage, like self-sabotage? And then what are signs that you are actually self-sabotaging yourself?
Yeah. You know, it's such a huge topic because it's something that we do. So many of us do this. And it's wonderful that you're aware of it. And I'm a big believer. You can't change what you're not aware of. So the first step is to become aware of it. So why would it be that things are going beautifully in your relationships or in your business or in your health, and then you derail yourself? Like, you know, we look at that and say, well, that just doesn't make sense. But it does. And it's always about protection. Mm-hmm. Because think about it. Like, let's just take, it's funny, I did a TEDx and it was on this topic. And it was all about, well, why is it that things could be going so well? Then boom, we derail ourselves. Like, here's an example. There was a woman I was working with, and she comes to see me to lose the weight. She had, you know, over the years, just put on some weight between she was busy working mom, you know, raising the kids and going to work and never taking care of herself. I'm sure so many of your listeners fit into that exact category.
Yes.
And so she comes to see me for the weight loss. But I know, sure, it can be about the food, but so often it's about so many other things.
Of course.
So she starts losing the weight. And then all of a sudden she starts feeling really good and confident, and she's feeling a little bit sexier and everything. And that scared the life out of her. Why? Because at that point she was forced to face the fact, hey, you know what? I don't know if I'm in love with my husband anymore.
Wow.
That's a big, right? What do you do with that? That's hard to face. That's hard to realize. So instead, she derailed her weight loss efforts and sabotaged her success. I see this a lot when it comes to weight loss because, you know, and I see this even with disease. I mean, you would think it's a no-brainer if you're hanging on to something that, of course, you'd want to get rid of the excess weight or the health challenge. If you don't know who you'd be without it, if you're not comfortable who you'd be without it, that weight, that health issue isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, no. Oh my gosh, you're so right when you say that. And I can totally relate to that because it's sometimes the fear. It's the fear of like, okay, well, or it's also the fear of like, well, what would I focus on then? If that's like been my focus of like, I've been overweight and I've been focusing my whole life on losing weight. And that's just been my thing that I hold on to. If I reach my goals, what do I have? Like, it's almost this weird sense of like, it creates a sense of self, or it's like workaholics or things like that. Like, I think it's the same sort of thing, right? In any, whether it's weight or whether it's work or whether it's food or whatever it is, it gives you some sort of sense of peace because that's the thing that you relate to and you know so well.
It's your story. And I had one woman I remember, she was the funny one, you know, in her group. And it's funny because she said, Debbie, I don't get it. I lose like 30 pounds and I always sabotage myself. So I knew when 30 pounds was coming, you know, and I marked it off in my calendar. And I remember she was really looking good and things are going well. And I remember saying, hey, what are you doing this weekend? She said, well, you know, I'm seeing friends. Why? What are you wearing? She's like, I don't know. And I said, wear something sexy. And you know what? Be funny too. What? She comes to see me the next week. She was like, oh, I did it. I was funny and sexy. Like, absolutely couldn't fathom being both. But once you're aware and then you do it, that there's that belief. It's shattered. You know, all a belief is the repetition of an idea from someone you trust. That's it. So whether that person was a parent, a friend, someone in a religious capacity, a teacher, or something you've said enough times, when you say something enough times, you believe it. So in her mind, she could not be funny and sexy too. Could not. And then when she challenged it, took it on, boom, there it was.
That's so fascinating.
Oh yeah. Oh, I've had clients who said, another one said, oh, Debbie, just so you know, I'm a slow loser. Like, she tells me her story. I'm like, really? Slow loser? What's that about? You know? And she's like, well, just so you know, I love when they tell me their story. So I said, do you want to take that on? She's like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, you want to take on this whole slow loser thing? Okay. Of course, the next week was her biggest weight loss week.
Yeah.
Because she challenged it. It was just a belief. But your mind always wants to prove you right. It will do everything to prove you right.
Right.
So as long as that belief's in place, that's the way it will work.
So then when you have clients that say to you, you know, I can't lose weight, or for anyone who's listening right now, who has the story that we were talking about earlier, that common story of like, I'm too busy, I don't have time, or I'm not a priority. How do you fix it? Cause that's really, when you say you're too busy, you're saying you're not a priority. When you say I can't do this, you're saying you're not a priority. Like, it's, how do you suggest for someone listening, how do they fix that self-sabotage, or how do they at least begin the process of that, of healing that side of it?
Yeah, but the first thing I say is can't really is I'm not willing to. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. There's no can't. It's I'm not willing to. And that's okay if that's really how you feel. But you know, I just want to make sure that they understand that. A lot of times, they're just not sure what's capable. And that's what's so beautiful, because I'll just simply tell them what I'm doing. Not that what I'm doing is so great, but here I am. You know, I have 4 kids, 6 dogs, an online business, an institute, writing a book. So I found it's not that I'm so great at any of this. I've just found some really simple ways to prioritize what's important. Right. And I'm okay with letting go with what isn't. So very often it's just, what simple hacks do you need to get the priorities done? And to be okay with it, because with so many women, there's this Wonder Woman supermom thing. And I also do stress testing. So I can promise you that's a recipe for stress-related diseases right there. And I know, because that was me. I did that. I mean, I've only taken on all these, you know, new areas because I crashed and burned so many times from these exact things. Mm-hmm. So once I healed, I was like, well, that was dumb. You know, why do I have to do everything? It's really okay. And who am I, you know, who am I trying to impress? What am I doing all this for? Why not just let some of it go and be okay with it? And then I realized, you know, we have this expectation. We set the bar so high. No one set the bar so high. We did.
Right.
And we look at everybody else like, oh, they look like they're just doing so well. And, you know, we see them and they look perfect and it looks like they have it all together. But here's the reality. I see their lab results. So I know what's going on internally. And even though they're looking beautiful, you're seeing what they want you to see. Mm-hmm. You're not necessarily seeing the truth. And that's why I'm so open about just what goes on in my life, because people can assume, well, you're doing all these things, but I have compromised and I've let go and I've prioritized and I crash and burn and learn how to heal. So, you know, there are ways to make it work, but when you do too much, it's you're not being good to anybody.
Definitely. And would you say too, when you're doing too much, like this is something that I've experienced in my own life, is that sometimes I know what I'm capable of, and I'm aware of it. And I know that if I prioritize properly that I can get through it. But sometimes you get caught up in your own head with your creating your list and creating, it's almost like you're creating your own drama that you're like, oh my gosh, I've got to do all this and this and this and this. And that's what actually overwhelms me more than the actual tasks. And so I have to always kind of take a step back and be like, no, I got this. Like I know I can do this as long as I follow this pattern and I, you know, follow my schedule and I keep everything as routine as I can. And I ask for help when I need it. Like as long as I do those things, I know I can get through all of everything that I'm doing. Do you feel as though that is a good strategy for this to avoid the crash and burn?
Well, first of all, you are brilliant. Go you for asking for help, because so many women will not do that.
And oh, no, I
here's
do.
here's the challenge with women. Because we're so capable, we do it all until we can't. But the only way to get it done is we have to cut some corners, and we wouldn't dare cut the corners when it comes to anybody else. So we cut it when it comes to our own self-care. Because about it. If I get up a little bit earlier, I could send out a few more emails. If I give up that workout, I can do a few more errands. If I go to the drive-thru, I don't have to make that healthy meal at home, right? Yeah. So we're cutting those corners, and then we do something else. We turn down the being and we turn up the doing. What do I mean by that? We turn down the feeling and turn up the thinking. Feeling takes time and we don't have the time. So we turn down the part that feels and we become almost machine-like. So we could just get things done that are, you know, that's on our list. And this is what's so interesting too. When I talk about the 5 stages in the study, and this is no blame, this is no judgment. This was every single participant in my study, including me. Mm-hmm. I found them all doing the same thing. Imagine 4 legs of a table, mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And what I found every single woman doing was, it was as if they were only strengthening 2 legs, the mental and the physical. It was as if their bodies were busy moving around based on what their minds are telling them what to do, completely neglecting the emotional and the spiritual. So if you take a look at that table, if there are only 2 legs being strengthened, easy to topple over.
Right.
And I found that with every single woman I studied.
Oh, that's me too, for sure. I mean, and I'm someone who is very spiritual, but I do tend to put my meditation practice aside and my yoga practice aside and things like that, because it's just, there's other things that have taken precedence. So you're absolutely right. I mean, I think mm-hmm. it's interesting though, that it is those two.
That's also one of the things that leads into this betrayal, because we're turning down our emotional and spiritual selves. So we're also turning down our intuition. Right. So we get this sense, well, something doesn't feel right. Something doesn't seem right. You know, I had one woman who she went into business with a best friend. I mean, they were so looking forward to working together. And then, you know, after a period of time, it just wasn't feeling right. Something wasn't right, but she was too busy running the business. Well, sure enough, the friend, what kind of friend is this? The friend was stealing all of the clients. Yeah.
Really?
So, but when we turn down our intuition, we're not as aware or as perceptive. Hmm. And that
makes sense. Yeah. So getting into the betrayal side. Mm-hmm. So can you, I mean, because oftentimes when we think of betrayal from an external standpoint. Do you find, is there internal betrayal as well?
Oh yeah. So, you know, self-betrayal is when you've made a promise to yourself that you've broken, like with an addict, let's just say, I won't have that binge again. I won't have that, you know, that drink again. I won't have that drug again. And then you do, you're betraying the people that are counting on you to stop. Mm-hmm. You feel you're betraying yourself. I spoke with a woman the other day and she said, Debbie, I ate well, I exercised, I prioritized my sleep. I got breast cancer. My body betrayed me. You know? Mm. So we can feel betrayed, self-betrayal all the time. But the most common ones are really, you know, it's that partner, it's the family, it's the friend, it's someone in a position of authority. And it's really, you know, the breaking of that spoken or unspoken rule. There's that understanding, or even a parent to a child, I'll listen to you, you keep me safe. Yeah. And then something happens, there's a betrayal. Or your best friend, you're secret safe with me. And then you see it on Facebook. It's like, what? Oh my gosh. And we're blindsided because we were honoring the rules. We were respecting the rules and assuming the other person is too. Mm-hmm. But the other person, without our awareness or consent, put their needs on, you know, above ours and just broke those rules. And we pay a huge price for that.
Right. And so what does that, when you are dealing with betrayal, mm-hmm. can that show up? I know the answer to this, but I really want to hear what you have to say. Can that show up in your body physically?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It, you know, think about it when you're, and especially stage two of betrayal, when the stress response is at the high, you know, is peaking now, is just fully engaged. When you ignite the stress response, now there's this cascade of physical symptoms you can have. You know, one of the most common physical symptoms, the most common, was extreme fatigue. Your body just can't handle that shock. You know, that shock imprints the body and mind. So mm-hmm. between the physical shock of it and gut issues, that was huge. And now think of it. Now you're headed for every single characteristic of and symptom that goes with adrenal fatigue. So gut issues and hormonal shifts and fatigue and weight changes and hair issues and thyroid and you name it.
Right. And so why don't you tell us a little bit more about the five stages? Because I think that, you know, really understanding those, I think, is really key.
Sure. Okay. So the first one, like I said, it's that big imbalance between the, where we're prioritizing the physical and the mental and really neglecting the emotional and the spiritual. I saw that in every single participant. So it's just this, we're just busy doing, we're just doing our best, you know, we're running our businesses, being a parent, being a child, whatever our role is, but we're really working hard, you know, and there's no fault, no blame here. And then there's the shock. And here's the breakdown of the body, the mind, the world view. The stress response is engaged. We start having all kinds of adrenal issues, immune issues. We're exhausted, but we can't sleep. Where the mind, chaos, brain fog, overwhelm, confusion. We can't make any sense of what just happened, because think about it. If the people we trust the most prove untrustworthy, who do we trust? When the ones we'd run to when other people are causing harm are the ones causing the harm, where do we go? So this freaks out our entire body and mind. Then there's a breakdown of the worldview. The worldview is how you view the world. These mm-hmm. people are safe. This is good. This is bad. This is, you know, these are the rules. Now with a betrayal, everything we've known to be real and true no longer exists. The bottom has bottomed out on us. So think about it. If the bottom has bottomed out on us, that's a really scary stage. And a new worldview hasn't been formed yet. So, but think about it. If you're walking down the street and the bottom were to give way, you would grab onto whatever you could to hold on and survive. And that's stage three. So stage three is survival. Instincts mm-hmm. are emerging. This is very practical. It's, where am I going to live? What am I going to do? How am I going to survive this? How do I pay for my kids? Whatever our specific challenge is, mm-hmm. pure survival. If you can't help me, get out of my way. Like, I need to figure out how I will survive this. Of course, the stress response is still engaged here. We're afraid. This is terrifying. Once we've figured out how we can survive, that it'll be okay. Okay, I'll work at this job. I'll live here. I'll do this. That person's not safe, but this person is. You know, we kind of get that. Mm-hmm. We slowly move into stage four, which is finding and adjusting to a new normal. This is like if you've ever moved, right? And we shared you're going to be moving, right?
So I'm in the process of, yeah.
Right in the process of it. So here, your new place, you know, it doesn't feel moved in and lived in and cozy yet, but it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you don't know your route to where you're going and you don't know all the details, but it's going to be okay. Now, when you're in that space, you're telling the body and the mind, okay, we got this, breathe a little bit easier. You know, and when you're in that space for a while and you're like, okay, I can make this work. I got this. We slowly move into the fifth stage, which is healing, rebirth, and a new worldview. The body now starts to heal because you're turning the stress response down. Here now, we finally have the bandwidth for our own self-care. We didn't care about weight loss or eating well or moving before that. It was about survival. Now we can pay attention to that. The mind starts to heal a little bit. Okay, whew, calm down. And we have a new worldview based on everything that we've seen. And remember that table from stage one where right. we were only focusing on two legs? We are solidly grounded on all four by stage five.
Okay. And how, I mean, if you have someone who feels like they are kind of stuck in one of those stages, because mm-hmm. I feel like that might happen often. I feel like stage two and stage three might be the areas that people get stuck the most. I could be wrong, but I would think so.
You're absolutely right. We could stay stuck in a stage three for a lifetime.
Well, survival. Yeah. Cause you're mm-hmm. just, I can see that. I can see that from, like, you know, just thinking about, you know, people in this world and seeing mm-hmm. how other people are operating and seeing how they're in that survival state. And you could see it in their skin, you could see it in their mm-hmm. face, see it in every part of their being, you could feel it from their energy. And mm-hmm. so when someone is stuck in a stage, how do they break through from that? Because that's got to be a really hard task.
It really is.
Especially if it's been a long time, like if they didn't even realize they were in it and they've been in it for a decade, say. How do they get past that?
Well, that's what was so great about the study, because now, I mean, I had a woman who said, I have a 6-week program now that actually moves you from one stage to the next. Mm-hmm. And I had a woman in there saying, Debbie, this would have saved me 20 years.
My gosh.
20 years. That's because amazing. If we've identified where you are and what it takes to move from one stage to the next, that it's like, okay, do these experiential exercises. This is what we do with the mind. This is what we do with the body. Let's go to that next stage. It's proven and it's predictable. Right. So now it's just a question of here's where you are and here's what you have to do to move to the next ones. And I'll tell you, I found that I get so much of my own healing from teaching. So at the end of the 6-week program, I have two different certifications. One is to be a certified PBT, post-betrayal transformation support group host, and one to be a practitioner. Because I found when we need that support the most, which is crucial to our healing, we're the least likely to get it. And I wanted women to be able to find these groups wherever they are. Mm-hmm. And I also wanted the hosts to be able to benefit to heal through their teaching. So, I mean, my intention is to get these groups, you know, every state, every country, every few blocks, and then I'm done.
No, but that's an amazing, amazing goal, I think, because it's so true. Like, if there isn't enough resources out there, people do, they will continue to be stuck. They will continue to go, or they'll continue to try to solve it on their own the same way that they've been doing it for years, which is clearly keeping them stuck in that cycle.
Absolutely. And again, I learned this the hard way. When I had my own betrayal, I remember it was just about my clients, my kids, crash. Clients, kids, crash. I mean, that's all I did. Right. My clients were, you know, they needed me to be strong. I had four kids. I needed to make sure they were okay. And then I would just crash. And I didn't speak to my friends about any of this for the first year. Because there's so much shame, there's so much judgment, there's so much, I didn't want pity, I didn't want any of that. Yeah. And we even found in the study that women often protect their betrayers. Because, you know, they're like, ooh, I don't want them, I don't want to deal with it, I don't want to hear about it, whatever. You know, all my friends love him or her, I don't want to, you know. And yeah. So, no, but that's when we need it the most. Mm-hmm. So these groups are really designed to not to sit and commiserate and to keep you stuck, but just to speak with people who get it because they've been there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. You know, I know even from my own experience, I remember going through this betrayal and I was not seeing it for what it was. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that now. And I that's when I was also using, I had a therapist I was working with who'd used a lot of alternative therapy methods, and a lot of meditation techniques and things like that, rather than just traditional. But I still remember going through that, and external things kept happening to me. And it was the most interesting thing in the world because I was going through it and internally I was keeping my eyes closed. I was like, no, I don't want to see what's happening around me. I knew there was something. And then externally I was driving on a highway and my car got hit. And then a week later, my car was in a parking lot and it got hit and like someone hit it. And I was like, oh my gosh. And my therapist at the time, we were talking about it and she's like, it's the world saying like, look out, like you have to open your eyes, like you have to pay attention, you know, it's like, it's constantly, do you believe that that happens, that externally things happen as well? It's not just internal.
You know, it is so, the more I learn, the more I see it. Like, here's an example. Mm-hmm. I had, and this is from extreme stress. I had arthritis. Arthritis is chronic illness driven by extreme stress. And
I didn't know it was from extreme stress.
Well, you know, it's chronic illness and it can stress, it can cause just about everything. True. So here I had such debilitating arthritis in my feet. So now on the outside, they looked fine. The inside, I had no cartilage, none. Zero, wow. None. And every doctor said, oh, it was from your years of running back in the day. And I hadn't run for years. And I'm thinking, but why do some people get to run into their 80s? Like this was years ago. I couldn't run. It didn't make sense, but they didn't have any other explanation. So I believed it. Yeah. Had surgery on one foot. And years later, after, you know, just my own crash and burns, you know, had surgery on the other foot. And think about what the feet represent moving forward. Mm-hmm. So I remember having this moment, just this moment of pure healing, like trust. And I hadn't trusted in a long time because trust is terrifying once you've been betrayed. And it was, everything was okay. I was safe. It was okay. And I remember now my feet were so bad that if I wore heels, I'd be like nauseous from the pain.
Oh my God.
And I remember I was wearing like just sneakers the whole day. And I had this moment. It was a moment of trust and total peace and whatever. I woke up the next day as if I were wearing 6-inch heels and dancing all night long. It was that painful. And I was like, what the heck is this? And then this flash of like, I just felt these words. Your hard stance keeps you in a hard stance.
Wow.
I was like, whoa. Your hard stance, like my resistance, and unwillingness to, you know, give trust again, keeps me in this hard stance. And I was like, oh, that, and I knew it was, that's not me. I'm not nearly that profound. And I was like, wow. But that's, we get messages like that all the time. Yeah. We just don't pay attention. We don't listen. We don't trust.
Yeah. No, that's so fascinating. Thank you so much for sharing that. Now, so I know that we do have to wrap this up, unfortunately. I mean, I feel like you and I could probably talk for hours, mm-hmm. and hours, maybe even said earlier. Like, I think there's just so much to cover. But for anyone who is feeling like maybe they are going through their own betrayal, or maybe they have in the past and they feel like maybe they've healed, but they're uncertain. Mm-hmm. Do you have any sort of signs or symptoms or anything that somebody should look for to have awareness that they are still stuck, that there's still something holding them back, or vice versa, that they are actually healed from it? Mm-hmm. Is there something that's a clear indicator of either?
Oh, you'll know if you're healed. But if you're stuck in the slightest, I mean, that's why I would so recommend everybody taking that quiz. Because even just the questions alone, taking those questions, you'll be like, wow, really?
I'm going to do it as soon as we're done here.
Yeah, that's why I feel that. That's what's going on. And it makes so much sense. So, mm-hmm. Because you can't change it if you don't know it's even there. So when you realize, oh, wow, I'm feeling, I have that physical feeling. I have that mental feeling. I have that emotional response. Yes, I am hesitant to trust again. I do want to move forward, but I don't know how. I mean, it's crazy mm-hmm. how, and all of these questions really just came from the study and all the people taking the quiz. We saw something that it was like, wow, there's really something called post-betrayal syndrome. And it is this collection of physical, mental, emotional circumstances that are just left in the wake of this betrayal. So I would say, absolutely, you'll see everything in the quiz. Mm-hmm. But as far as knowing that you're healed, when you can look at your experience and say, you know what, that was, yes, by far, hands down, the most horrible thing that's ever happened. I could speak personally, horrible. But when I look at what it's led to, here we are in the PBT Institute. I never had a place. I had an online business forever. to have an institute and now be writing books on it and certifying these practitioners and hosts and, to do something so much bigger with it, to speak about it, to somehow help other people become aware so they can heal. It was worth it.
Yeah. Definitely. And would you say that helping people, I mean, for anyone who is listening, who is going through a process or is going through a betrayal or is starting to heal or maybe has healed, what do you say to them when they feel like they have to keep it to themselves? When they feel like they have to close it off? Like, my suggestion to people always is share, because you have no idea how much impact you can make with someone mm-hmm. else out there that may be going through something similar, or that just making someone feel like they're not alone, and also just making yourself aware of the fact that you are not alone through this process. But do you have any other words of advice on that?
I do. Physically, that'll kill you. It really will. But I know how uncomfortable it is. I know how terrifying it is to be vulnerable. Here I am, on your show, telling you about my betrayals. It's scary. Yeah. Of course it is. I get it. But there's so much healing that you get from opening up like that. And, there are so many benefits we get from keeping stuff to ourselves. We get self-pity. We get to be right. We get our story. We get, to blame someone. We get all those benefits. But when you're willing to give that up, you get freedom. You get healing. You get a much better story. You get to be the heroine of your story. It's so worth it. So trust. And I know that's so hard to say after betrayal, but even if you trust one person enough to confide in, that's a help. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Well, Dr. Debbie, thank you so much. I so appreciate you taking the time to share this information with us. And all of the links will be available to check out the quiz, as well as to look into your institute. We'll all be available at thechicksacademy.com. If you check on the blog post, that'll accompany this podcast. So anyone that's interested, but also Debbie, can you just share where they can find more information about you as well as your institute?
Oh, sure. Just go. Here's where the quiz is. And on the site, you'll find everything. It's PBT, as in post-betrayal transformation, pbtinstitute.com/quiz.
Okay, perfect. All right. Well, thank you again. And everyone, thank you so much for listening. And we will chat with you again soon. Have a great day, everyone. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.